Today is the third Sunday in Lent. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be you followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much be as be named among you, as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talk, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. In the Father, and Son, and the Ghost, amen. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, at the third Sunday of Lent, we see our Lord, who is doing his task as casting out devils. Casting out devils, and of course, it's obvious from the discussion that our Lord has is that it seemed to be somewhat prevalent at the time that there was this danger, the difficulty of being such that there was the problems of his advance and such that he would possess men. And so our Lord, of course, casts out the devil, and of course then he's accused of doing ill by casting him out, because he says he's doing it because he's an agent of Beelzebub. And so our Lord then enters into a discussion with them about, you know, what his job is, how he works, and who he works for. And it's of great importance for us, because in our world today, we have to make decisions that have to do with our eternity. And it all centers around is with who are we going to be serving? Who are we going to serve? we will have to either serve one or the other. It's a choice we make. It's a choice maybe that we don't realize, we don't consciously make necessarily, but in practice we make that choice. Who are we going to serve? You know, in today's world, a lot of people, they go around not even knowing or not even thinking about this. They think about, well, I'm just here in this life, I go through life, I seek to enjoy myself, I seek some satisfaction, materially speaking. And, you know, if I am able to live a quote-unquote good life, materially speaking, everything's fine. It's a ploy of the enemy, actually. I mean, we have to make a choice, as I say. You're either serving one or, as Scripture says, we sustain the other. You know, we have to take one or the other. We have a choice. It's either A or B. It's not a third choice we have. We have to make that decision. We have to make that conscious choice as to who we're going to serve. And that will determine everything past that. If we remember what we learned in our catechism, the very first time we had catechism was, why did God make me? He made me to know, love, and serve Him. That was for Him. We're supposed to be such that we are His. At our baptism, we were such that we were under the dominion of Satan. We're such that because of the sin of our first parents, we incurred the original sin. We did not have sanctifying grace in our soul. By our baptism, we received sanctifying grace, and we were made a child of God. Okay? And of course, we renounced Satan and all that he stood for and all that he represented at the time of our baptism. It was our baptismal promises. They're renewed oftentimes at our first communion. They're renewed, of course, at the same time, at the time of the Easter Vigil. We have to make a conscious commitment, and we have to state our conviction of who we are serving and who we are renouncing. And we do that every day in our daily life. We have to make sure that that is what we do. Perhaps one of the reasons why it's so forgotten today is because of the fact that the whole idea of the supernatural and spiritual realm is gone. It's gone out of the minds of men. They're so soaked in materialism that they forget about the supernatural, about those things which are of a spiritual nature, because they're also caught up in material things. And so because people are so caught up in material things, their idea is that those things which are purely spiritual don't exist. You know, the whole world of angels and both good and bad angels is gone. You know? Or if they acknowledge it, they think it's a nice thing, it's just a storybook account of certain things, and it doesn't really have a reality, because the only things that are real are the things that are material. That's typically the mind of modern man, because he's so caught up with material things that he forgets almost completely about anything which is spiritual or supernatural. And so people go around today not even thinking about the enemy at all. But the enemy exists. The enemy exists, and he's very happy if you think he doesn't exist. Because if you think he doesn't exist, he can go about in broad daylight without any problem. He can go about without any concern about being attacked or being defended against. And that's what goes on today. You know, it's only through the cross and through our Lord that we can hope to defend ourselves against the enemy. His powers are very great. He is a superior being, superior to any human being, because of the fact that he and his companions are such that he, if you want to call them companions, are such that they're far superior to us. They're far superior in their very nature to us. And so they can do great damage to us if they wish. The only way we can have the strength and hope to be able to defend against the enemy that's as strong as this is to unite ourselves to our Lord, to ask the help of the angels, who are on a par with them, at least with regard to their natural gifts, in order to help us in this whole situation. St. Paul says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities of wickedness in high places. He's talking about the angelic powers that are at work. They are real. They do exist. And the further people separate themselves away from our Lord, the further that they are drift away from Him, the more power that the enemy can exert. And we're seeing that more and more today. There are parts of the police department that are all such, they're all set up in order to deal with these kinds of problems. They know they're true. They see the effects. They're called out from time to time to deal with these kinds of problems. Okay. The priest also knows, because of course, more and more as time goes on with the problems that are going on because people have abandoned God, the enemy has more influence. And the enemy doesn't go around in a red suit with two horns and a pitchfork in order to, and identifies himself as such. Okay. It's not the way it works. He's very insidious. He wants to be unnoticed so he can go about his job and do his job and be effective in so doing. And so we have to make that renouncement of the enemy and all that he stands for and be such that we are on watch against him. It's interesting, St. Peter's admonition in his epistle says, be watchful. The enemy, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. It's said by the religious, those who are bound to say divine office, it's said every night at Compline. The problem for some of us, I'm afraid, is that we think that maybe it's just symbolic or metaphorical. It's just a symbol, or it's not a reality. Again, it's hard for some people to get in their minds that it's a reality. We are so steeped in the material that we can't raise ourselves above it to think of things spiritual or supernatural. Even we, because we are affected with that materialism in which we live. Okay. It is real. It is real. And not only, of course, we have certain abilities at our disposal because of the goodness of our dear Lord who gave us the sacraments, so that we can, of course, work to counter some of the effects of the enemy. We can go to confession, for instance. Many of us are able to go to confession, and so we can receive the grace of the sacrament to evict the enemy from our souls. But it's interesting, Dom Guérinier in his commentary on the liturgical year says, yes, we need to get rid of him, and of course our Lord says that we need to make sure that the enemy doesn't have entry again, because if we don't, like our Lord says here in the Gospel, that if we leave our place wide open, if we leave the door open, the enemy will come back in, bring his friends with him, and the last state of that man will be worse than the first. The commentary made by Dom Guérinier was that we hear that, but how many people a year from now will be coming in for confession because they've fallen into the same problem because they received the grace of confession, but they didn't take measures necessary in order to bar the doors and windows to keep the enemy from coming back in? Which is, in other words, to develop a strong spiritual life, to develop all of the means necessary to defend himself with the help of God's grace and with the help of a good, strong spiritual life in order to keep the enemy from having entry again. The enemy will seek, if he can, to come back. He wants to come back if he can. And so we have to take the necessary steps in order to keep him out. Okay. Our souls need to be a sanctuary where our Lord is. Our Lord, the angels and saints, want to reside with us. They want to be with us. But we have to make them our friends, and we have to bar the doors so that the enemy can't get in. And of course, when we say that, what we mean is that means that we have to stay away from the occasions of sin, stay close to our Lord, stay close to the sacraments, be faithful in our daily duties, especially our spiritual duties, and also be faithful to our duties of state as well. These are important things that we need to do. We make resolutions during Lent, which is good. We need to keep them during Lent. And some of those resolutions which have to do with our state in life and our duties of state, we have to make sure that not only do we keep them during Lent, but then we use this period of Lent as a springboard by which we then continue to persevere even after Lent is over. You know, those kinds of things we need to continue on even after Lent, because it is our duty. And we need to make sure that we make sure we have everything boarded shut so the enemy cannot have entry again. You know, the question always is how many times will God forgive? You know, he says that you must forgive 70 times 7, but nevertheless, there will be a time when the time for forgiveness is over with, and we will face judgment. Who knows when that time is? We don't know. But the best way to prepare for that is to live the life of grace that God wants us to live, to live this newness of life, as St. Paul will tell us when we get to the Easter Vigil. And so let us resolve to be such that we are in the militia of our Lord, that we fight with him in union with him against the enemy, that we persevere in grace, that we have nothing, that we renew our baptismal promises of renouncing Satan and everything that has to do with him, so that we can be our Lord's friends and be able to be called amongst as a member that is in his militia, fighting valiantly for him and for his cause. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.